got in touch with me and said, look, Luca would like you to do a couple of gigs in Holland if you're up for it. And I was like, yeah. So then it went from Holland to Belgium. Yeah, exactly. It went from Holland, then to Belgium, then to Germany, Australia, America. He pretty much took me all around the world.
Wow.
Yeah, we were great friends. We're still great friends. He really looked out for me. He really believed in me. He still does. You know, he's just one of these people that have a... He's a great songwriter and a great friend, and I don't know, it's just he always said at some point I know you're going to pick it up again, and he was right. So he was the first person I called really when I got back into music again.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Snug Podcast. My name is Richard Loftus,
and I'm Lavin.
Here we interview people from all walks of life about their passions, their interests, their side hustles, and everything in between. How are you, Levin? Any crack?
I'm phenomenal. How are you doing?
You're phenomenal. Jesus.
Yeah, I feel great.
That was good.
I was in Clipton there over the weekend for the Arts Fest.
Oh, yeah, you were off hunting down artists.
We're sort of, myself and Vinny, my buddy Vinny, went looking for Joe Bosk, found him, and got him to sign a few prints.
Class.
And then I played some tunes in Malarkey's. Have you been in Malarkey's?
Oh, Malarkey's, yeah.
That's
yeah.
like the best like small venue I think I've been in the world. I love it in there.
In the world?
Yeah, I like cozy small venue. I love it. It's fantastic
Which
in there.
Which street is that on?
I don't know. It's Clifton.
You know, there's
it's
only
in
two
the,
like
it's
that,
in the hotel. Whatever the hotel's called.
Oh, but, it's in the hotel.
Tracy Bruin was playing there, and I just sort of asked if I could sit in on a song or two, and she's like, yeah, of course.
Class.
So I played Cortez the Killer, and it was fantastic crack.
Nice,
yeah.
Nice.
But no, it was great fun, and came back here then for the wedding. And
did you go to the wedding?
On Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I went to Owen Daly's wedding in Tully's. And yeah, so what day is today? Tuesday? So recovered, all recovered.
Yeah, I met
How about your weekend?
I met the bride and groom in the sauna down the beach there
the sauna, yeah, of course,
Sunday morning.
Ian's sauna,
yeah,
mobile sauna.
So it's just what is it, is he Wet Mongrel or something is the name of the company, I think it is.
Wet Mongrel is his it's his stand-up paddleboarding company.
Yeah,
shout out to Ian.
And it's kind of just converted trailer kind of job, but it's class.
His
the sauna.
Yeah. I always think that I hate saunas. In my head, like, I feel like I wouldn't be able to handle a sauna. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd feel like I'd have a heart attack inside of it.
That's no, because you have more chance getting a heart attack when you're getting in the water beforehand.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it's great. After, you definitely start cold and you finish cold. And it kind of...
Do they do, like, the whacking each other with the leaves?
No.
And is everyone naked inside or with towels on? Or?
No, we're all in our togs.
Oh, you're in our togs. Well, because it's Ireland, of course.
Yeah. you could do that if you want. That'd be... you'd have to hire it privately.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Well, that's it.
I'm sure it's happened.
And your weekend was good, other than that?
Yeah. The old panel discussion for Culture Night. Inside.
You did a panel discussion for Culture Night in Galway, is it?
Yeah. So myself, Andy Gaffney from the Promenade podcast, and Kerry Graham from the Celtic Tales Chronicles. We just kind of did a panel discussion and just talking about podcasts in the west coast of Ireland. Nice. And how we got on with it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
People actually came. You know,
great. People came.
Yeah, so keep it clean. But yeah, you know, we were worried, like something like that, because there were so many things on in Culture Night.
Of course,
that
you
worried that, you know, no one would come, but there was about 30 people there in the end.
Jeez, that's grand.
Yeah, so it was great. And then we headed over a friend of, you know, Jimmy MacDonald, you know, the poet that we had on in season one.
Yes.
He was doing a reading in... Charlie Burns. So we went over and seen that. And then all the lads from Yaw Lag, you know, they were all DJing behind what Charlie Burns. So the talk was going on, and all you could hear was doosh, doosh, doosh,
oh, man.
Doosh. It was pretty fucking hilarious, to be honest with you.
All the boys. Yeah.
But it's like, fucking every corner you walked around, you were like, oh, there's someone. There's someone
culture.
There.
Oh, I guess, yeah, culture there. Night. That's, yeah.
That was great, though. That was great. But today we are joined by Sabrina Dynan. Yes. Yes, we got it in one.
Got it.
Singer-songwriter from the West Coast as well. How are you, Sabrina? How are you?
How's it going? How are you?
Good.
Good.
Thanks for joining us.
Ah, thanks for having me. I'm delighted to be here. My very first podcast. So, yeah, it's great. It's great to be here.
Hopefully we don't put you off.
I hope so too.
We probably will.
I need to put that water somewhere else instead of bending down the whole time. So you're originally from Ennis, correct?
From Ennis, yeah. From Ennis. Lived there until I was probably around 19. And then I went and did a bit of travelling for a while. And then moved up to Galway. And I just loved it. I loved it as soon as I got here.
To the city, is it?
Yeah, I just thought it was really, like, that's a long time ago, and I'm just thinking now, let me see, it would have been probably the year 2000. So it was very different back then.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I know that sounds back then, but like it was a different place. There was music everywhere all the time, and it just seemed like a really good spot to kind of settle down for a while, and then sure, didn't really leave after that. Like, I've moved around in different spots in Galway and outside of the city now at this stage. But yeah, I just really like Galway City. I think it's a great little spot.
It's a great little spot.
And it still is. You know, I say there used to be lots of music, but I'm sure there still is. It's just that I'm out of the loop now.
Of course, yeah.
You know, and
we're all
older.
Old now.
Yeah, like, exactly.
I think the original music scene is probably more towards electronic side of things these days in Galway. When I think of original music in Galway, like, I in my head, I'm like, there needs to be bands, like, coming up with stuff, do you know? But I guess that's just not how it is anymore, you
there
know?
There is, like, those lads to put on the full house gigs and stuff like that, and Rough Cut.
Yeah.
There is, I suppose, it's just not, you have to look for it.
I
suppose, us being in our 30s now, you know, they're not trying to get us in the door, really.
No.
They're trying to get younger.
We're the old sensible ones.
Well...
like, semi-sensible.
Yeah.
So what, did you start playing in music when you were living in Ennis, or did you wait till you come up to Galway, or how did it work?
Let me think. So when I was working in a pub when I was in school, and there was often music on, and I kind of started playing the guitar again. I kind of dropped it. I learned it when I was very small, like maybe when I was around 11 or 12.
Yeah.
And then I just dropped it because I was started getting interested in boys and and cigarettes and all the things you're not supposed to be interested in. And what was I going to say? So then I kind of dropped it. And then when I was around 19, I moved to London for a while and I picked it up again. But just before I did that, when I worked in the pub, a few of us would play together after hours and things like that. And people would say to me, oh, you've got a good enough voice or whatever. And so I kind of stuck at it and then just kind of did it as a hobby, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing major. And then sometimes I'd go up and do a song if there was a band playing. You know, they'd be giving me the elbow behind the bar. Go on up and do a song. So I'd go up and do a song. And that's kind of where it started, really. Kind of the beginning of the journey.
And what kind of stuff were you listening to when you started playing guitar first? Was there any kind of...
It's funny, actually, because the other day... it's just funny you're asking me that question. The other day, I had this memory of... when I was around 11 or 12, they came around the school just when I'd started learning the guitar. They came around the school, the headmaster did, and he said, okay, there's a Clare FM are doing a radio show from the square in Ennis, and they're going to pick a couple of people to come on and do it. So we all had to do like this kind of, what would you call it? Not an interview, like an audition.
Yeah.
Whoever wanted to do it. And I had learned The Joys of Love. I never knew who sang it. Then I realised recently it was Joan Baez. I was like, God, I was so cool at 11 and I didn't even know it. And,
that's great.
So I got to play on the radio. What was the question again? What did you ask me?
So who were you listening kind of to?
Oh, so I wasn't listening to Joan Baez, but I was kind of listening to my parents' music, I think, really, at that stage. And then when I got a bit older, it was very much like Nirvana, Pearl Jam, anything kind of in that era.
That
vein, yeah. Yeah. I was obsessed with Eddie Vedder. Like, obsessed.
Yeah, 90s grunge has special kind of a special place in a lot of people's hearts.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's the curly hair as well.
Yeah,
exactly.
But so, and what was the reason for going to London then? You mentioned going to London for a while.
Yeah, I finished my Leaving Cert and I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. Everyone seemed to know what they wanted to do. I hadn't a clue. So I said, okay, I'm going to go off to London for a year. And then while I was over there, I decided I'd go to Australia for a year. So
yeah.
I spent a few months in London and then came home for a bit and went over to Australia. And that's kind of really where the journey into the music stuff started. I wrote my first song over there, met up with a few musicians over there, and a lot of them were Irish. And there was an open mic night down the road and I used to play down there. So I really got into writing then. And I named my first EP after the hotel down the road, the Bondi Hotel. So
yeah, that was in 2006.
Yeah. So that was a long time ago. But so that was kind of the beginning, really, or kind of, yeah.
And how did Australians find your accent, or did they struggle to understand? Because your voice is, you've quite the voice on you. So, you know, you don't sing with an accent or anything like that. It's kind of Americana in my head.
Yeah, I suppose I don't do it on purpose. Like I try and just sing in my natural voice or whatever. But I suppose you're influenced by everything you've listened to over your life. That Absolutely. Sometimes it might come out that way without, you know, unintentionally or whatever.
It's so hard to sing with your natural accent because most of the time you end up sounding like the Zaw Doctors, you know.
Yeah, they're a great band. But I wish I could do that.
Like people down here, a lot of the times if they're trying to sing with an Irish accent, sound like the Dubliners, because that's where they hear Irish accents being sung.
Yeah.
And then all other media mainly is coming from the States and Canada and stuff. So you're getting that kind of sort of pan cultural accent.
Yeah.
Like what's it like? Mick Jagger is the same thing from. Are they from London? Is that where he's from?
Yeah,
and he sings a fucking deep South American blues man, like, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
But it's just how it happens, like, you know.
Yeah, it kind of it sort of feels unnatural to try and to try anything else. I don't mean anything else, but just that's the way it comes out, and that's what feels natural. So it's not put on by any means or whatever, you know.
Well, I definitely put on a country accent when I'm singing country songs. I can't help it.
Do you think you do? Do you?
Well, a lot of the time I will, yeah. I have to consciously find how to sing with my own accent most of the time. So, for instance, if I'm playing songs that I've written that have sort of an Irish influence,
yeah,
I try to use... My accent's halfway between American and Irish anyway.
Yeah.
But I try to use more of the Irish side of things. But then if I'm playing a cover of a country song, like, I'm going straight fucking American country. Do you know what I mean?
So I
can kind of switch between modes, more or less.
Yeah.
I suppose, when I hear... Thinking of you singing now, it's kind of that mid-Atlantic kind of tang to it, all right, definitely.
Yeah, it's got it.
So when did you... I know you toured with Luca Bloom and stuff like that. Mm. Was that post... the first trip to Australia, where chronologically did that land?
Yeah, so when I came back and I made the EP, the Bondi Hotel, I dropped a lot of the pub gigs. I was doing a lot of covers gigs.
Yeah.
And I decided to just kind of go for it. And so I started getting original gigs and I got this gig in Glore. And Luca was playing there. And
in Glore, did you say?
Yeah, in Ennis. Yeah. And so... the man who was managing him at the time, Niall, got in touch with me and said, look, Luca would like you to do a couple of gigs in Holland if you're up for it. And I was like, yeah. So then it went from Holland to Belgium. Yeah, exactly. It went from Holland, then to Belgium, then to Germany, Australia, America. He pretty much took me all around the world.
Wow.
Yeah, we were great friends. We're still great friends. He really looked out for me. He really believed in me. he still does. You know, he's just one of these people that have a, he's a great songwriter and a great friend, and I don't know, it's just he always said at some point, I know you're going to pick it up again, and he was right. So he was the first person I called really when I got back into music again, and he called up to the house and he was like, great, right, this is what we need to do. He just had like a plan in place, which was brilliant, because I needed the guidance, you know.
Is he a Clare man as well, or where is he from?
He's from Kildare, but he lives in Clare, actually. Yeah, he lives in Clare. He moved there a few years ago. No, he lives in Quilty.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So the initial tour was from the Netherlands. So how long were you on the road then?
So we did the Netherlands and Belgium, I think, over, God, was it maybe 2 weeks in Holland, and then maybe it was another week or so in Belgium, or maybe they were kind of actually all thrown in together. I know we were based in Amsterdam, which was lovely, and then we'd kind of drive off to the gigs every day because it's so small and the drives are easy over there. So we had a driver and everything. God, I was just out of my, I was blown away. I was like, so fancy.
Having a driver, that,
it was unreal. But like, I was so shy, and so used to doing covers gigs that the first night we did a gig together, I came out on the stage and I just went, oh my God, everybody was just looking at me and paying attention to me, which I wasn't used to.
Of course, yeah.
And oh God, I can even feel my heart racing now just thinking of it. And and I came out and I just went, oh my God. And I sat in the chair because my legs were like jelly.
Yeah.
And I looked down and I played a song, like looking down at my feet the whole time. And then looked up and just went, oh, thank you, and then raced into the next song, and everybody clapped and they were very respectful and everything. But afterwards, and Luca and myself still joke about it afterwards, Luca was like, okay, this is not gonna work,
really.
And I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna get the sack, my first read, like, and I'm gonna get sacked. And so he said, look, just go out tomorrow night, he said, and just say, hi, my name is Sabrina Dynan. I'm from Menison, County Clare. And so that's what I did. And then it just got a little bit easier. And then, you know, you talk to people after the gigs, selling CDs and stuff like that. But even now I find it, you know, in between songs, it has to be natural. And if it's not, I can tell that I'm not being natural. Other people can tell, and it's real tricky.
It is tricky.
But anyway, so it got a bit easier and started. But we still joke about that. He always like he'll sometimes ring me up and he go, "Hello, my name is Sabrina Dynan and hi, Luca." But anyway, that's the crack. Yeah.
So he drags you around Australia and then the States as well.
Yeah, like he happened to mention it one day in the car, and I was like, "Oh my God!" He was like,
"No,
we're going to Australia next year." And I was like, "Say nothing, like just say nothing, and just keep your mouth shut." Because I was just like, he was like, "Maybe we could do those gigs. I'll talk to my promoter." And I was like, "Oh yeah, that'd be great." You know, trying to be really cool, but inside I was like jumping up and down, going, "If this happens, I'm going to be so happy." And it did happen, and then I think the thing why it works so well is we were just good pals, you know. We got on great. He's great crack, actually. He's very funny, and just so it just worked.
And was it this period or when you came back that you were shared the stage, say, with Brendan Benson and Damien Dempsey and stuff like that?
Yeah, no, that was before. That was before. And then, so all of those kind of gigs, a lot of them would have been through the Roisin Dubh.
Okay.
Googie was very good to me. And, I'm just trying to think where else I would have played. A lot of it was Galway based. I'm just trying to think now. Yeah, so it would have been, a lot of it would have been around Galway mainly.
But you're not bad names you're able to drop, though, like, to be honest with you.
Yeah, just, I'd forgotten about Brendan Benson there until he said, I was like, oh yeah.
Brendan Benson's been in the Raconteurs.
The what?
The Raconteurs.
Never heard of him.
With Jack White.
Are they Irish?
You know, no. Jack White from The White Stripes.
Oh, Jack White. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it would have been his other band, isn't that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So
lost on me.
So I did a couple more EPs then around that time, and then yeah. I just kind of took a break from it. And
who are you recording with? Studio?
Just friends. I mean, it was kind of like at the time, it was just like go over and record a few songs at a friend's house and throw them onto a CD, and you know, that's kind of the way. And it's also very comfortable. You know, it's very easy going, and you're not in a big crazy studio and
yeah,
all that kind of thing. So yeah.
And then how did you end up on the John Martin tribute album then?
Oh yeah, so myself and Ulton, who's a great friend of mine and a great musician, Ulton Conlon, I'll give his album a little plug. Actually, he's just released an album called The Starlight Ballroom.
Oh, it's wonderful. Amazing.
Really, really good. And
is that named after the ballroom that used to be in Westport?
Or yes.
It is.
It is. That's right. Yeah. Did you hear about the story of
No,
that?
No, no. It's just someone was saying it to me recently, and then I seen a picture, and I was just like, well, if that's, they're both the same names, maybe it's named after that. Or
it totally is. Yeah. He's based the whole album around this. It's a beautiful story. Actually, I am. If you look into it, it's just the way it came about. But anyway, so Ulton and myself were down doing a gig in Kilkenny, and Ulton said to me on the way down, John Martin might be here tonight, and I was like, shut up. God, like freaking out.
What year around is this then?
So I think that was around 2007.
Okay.
Maybe 2008. And it was 2008, actually, it was. And so we were down there playing away, and John Martin came in, and he just seemed to kind of, he seemed to be kind of into it. And I was just like, God, I couldn't believe that John Martin was sitting in front of me. And he was just really kind of like really friendly, really nice. And then he passed away, but I think it was about a year later.
Okay.
And he had told his producer about me, who lived in Chicago at the time. And so his producer got in touch with me and said, look, we're doing a tribute album, we'd love to have you on it. And I was like, what? It was crazy.
It seems to be a common theme that you play yourself down, but then you're like, oh, you know, touring all over, producer in Chicago,
falling into mad tours, and God, it's crazy. It's great.
Honestly, that is kind of the way it's happened. Like a lot of the time for me, it's kind of it's really like it's that old kind of like being at the right place at the right time kind of thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was living in Canada at the time when his producer got in touch with me, and I moved to Vancouver for a year, and so he got in touch with me, and I said, grand. So I went up and down from Vancouver to Chicago and recorded the song there, and then we decided to record an album, but it didn't really work out, so we left that. But I still ended up on the John Martin album, the tribute album, which was lovely. It was really nice. Yeah. Nice to kind of just to have, you know, one of those things in your back pocket.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
Because like Beck and David Gray also appeared on that.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Is David Gray a Scientologist as well? I know Beck is.
Is Beck?
Yeah.
He's not. He
is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
You're not a Scientologist, are you?
No.
Okay, great.
You were probably panicking there, right? I should have said yes.
Well, yeah, you should have said yeah. We can just edit it all out then.
Yeah.
You could have just ended it right there.
Jeez, that White Ladder album, that's the fucking great shit, isn't it?
Remember, that was the first song, remember, that I think that the cover band played, you know, the day two of the wedding. And then everybody was belting out Babylon at the start.
Your wedding, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Funny. Yeah, it was a great album.
It's a great album. Yeah.
I loved his earlier ones. Do you know they were kind of more acoustic?
Yeah.
A Century Ends, Sell. They were kind of my two. Well, they were kind of like our late teenage on the tape deck.
Yeah.
That's apparently they're all coming back now again, tapes.
Yeah,
they are.
My friend Daniel Harrison now, he used to write a music blog back in the day, and he'd be telling me all about all these kind of, you know, producers and stuff in the States and stuff, and it, you know, and they'd be released. This is probably maybe 5 years ago, and you know, they're all just releasing stuff, but it's cassette only.
Oh,
you know, it's not digital release, it's vinyl.
Yeah,
it's cassette only.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's just a, I don't really know, understand the logic behind it. Maybe okay. Someone needs to explain it to
old
me.
Cassette yeah. Futurism or whatever.
Probably.
DIY punk kind of shit.
Yeah, yeah. But it's mad.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know? I think yeah. It's cool. I like
yeah.
That.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's going to be a very few number of people that are listening to it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Very restricted. You're kind of restricting yourself there, like,
yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
Even but though it's a nice idea, but it, maybe they're just a bit ahead of themselves.
Exactly. It's yeah. A great idea, but... You know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
It's hard now because even if you go to someone's gig and you buy their CD.
Yeah, where are you going to play it?
Yeah. Because I don't have a CD ROM or whatever in my laptop.
Yeah.
I don't have a DVD player anymore.
CD player in my car doesn't work. Yeah. I wish it worked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I got Tom Tui's album in there. I haven't been able to listen to it in 2 years.
I mean, we used to, that's where we used to really make our money years
yeah.
ago. And it's
oh,
all
yeah.
cash. Like, it was all mm-hmm. cash. It was brilliant. But, yep. Now, I do have CDs now, but you'd be surprised. The older generation definitely have some, like people my age, a bit older. I have one in my car, but I think that's the only place I have one, but my car is very old. And yeah, it's a bit of a shame, but somebody said they're coming back, and hopefully they are, because like it's lovely to have a little
thing
in your
absolutely
hand. You know,
is.
I know it's more
yeah.
stuff, but it's like it's valuable. It's like it's music. It's not just...
Yeah, it makes you feel like you're there's something to it, like
yeah.
when it's not just ethereal in the, you know.
Yeah, like Spotify's grand, but I mean, you're just, you know, there's nothing, like it's like you just get lost in all
you
the stuff
lost.
In it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't care, and you're listening to playlists more than albums
exactly,
at that point.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Now in the States, CDs are still pretty.
No, that's good.
Pretty prevalent, I've noticed.
Okay,
people have them and listen to them.
Great. I need to get a tour in the States.
Yeah,
then.
I'd say, yeah. Well, you know what?
It probably has to.
It probably just happened.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. What's good, but as we've said to other musicians here, if you're selling CDs and you're going to a gig and someone's selling CDs, just buy the CD. You know,
yeah.
you can listen to the song, whatever, on Spotify or something like that, but buy the CD as well.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
Just stick
yeah.
it on the wall or do
yeah.
whatever you want with it.
That is nice, actually. That's a nice idea.
You need to do, you need to support the artists
yeah.
out there, like, you know.
Oh,
could
yeah,
worth,
absolutely.
Could be worth thousands in years to come. Who
yeah.
knows?
Yeah,
yeah.
That's what I'm telling people anyway.
So, you took a break.
Yeah.
And now you're back for the last, I don't know, how long since you took it back up?
So, this time last year, I started writing again.
Yeah.
So, it was like, yeah, it was October last year. It's just, I had 6 months, which was the most amazing gift of time. I've never really had that in my life before. And I just... picked up the guitar. I hadn't picked it up in about 10 years, and like that's
oh, wow,
not
wow.
a word of a lie. Like I just did not. I think when the album didn't work out in Chicago at that time, I think it just kind of, I just sort of thought, what is the point of this, like, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it kind of broke my heart a little bit, so I just
yeah.
thought, okay, I'm gonna just leave it. And then I just never had the grow to kind of get back to it. But in a way, I think that was really good to have that 10-year break, because when I went back to writing this time, it's quite different.
Mm-hmm.
Like the style is different. It's
yeah.
kind of like you're starting all over again. And I had that time to kind of experiment and just play, you know, play for hours and write for hours. And oh my God, like it really was just a magical time. It was just so lovely. And I was really grateful for it. So when I started writing, I just thought, geez, I should probably try and play these live and you know, maybe try and record them. And then Luca put me in touch with a good friend of his, John O'Connell, and we've started recording an album down in Clare. But I also did a little EP with Alton Conlon in his cabin out in Haskra.
Oh,
so
nice.
We just went over one day and just threw down four songs.
That's great.
And he got them mixed and mastered by a friend of his over in LA called John Wood. And then it's really just guitar and vocals, but it's a great starting point.
Yeah.
And it also gives people something to, like, you know, after a gig to go away with, so they don't forget me.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? So they might come to another gig maybe in the future.
Yeah.
Who knows?
So that's the beginnings EP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the one. So three of my own songs and one cover. Yeah.
Which one's the cover?
Dreaming My Dreams.
Oh,
it's a Waylon Jennings song.
Okay.
Which I hadn't heard it before. It's a really old song, but I heard it about 6 months ago. I heard it when myself and Ultim were recording this. He was like, have you ever heard this song? I was just like, oh my God.
Did you say Waylon Jennings?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's great. I nearly broke when I heard it. I was like, this is the most, it was so simple, but so, oh, it was like somebody was reading my mind when I heard this. I was like, I have to sing that song.
Waylon is fantastic. I love Waylon Jennings.
Yeah, yeah. A great guy. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought Mechanics of Love kind of reminded me of, do you remember Gemma Hayes?
Yes, I do remember Gemma Hayes.
I know that that Mechanics of Love is probably the more, I don't know, popular of the four on it.
Yeah.
But I just remember, because I'd say about when we moved to Galway first, probably 2006, 2007.
Yeah.
We all had Gemma Hayes on our wall because she was
beautiful.
I don't know what Gemma is.
She was easy on the eye. She's a singer-songwriter from Ireland.
Where?
One of the counties.
One of the counties?
I couldn't tell you where she's from.
All right. But I don't know her at all. No.
Yeah, yeah. But that song reminded me of her.
Okay, okay.
So that's the EP. So
yeah.
Album in the works then?
Album in the works now, yeah. So the songs are written. They're ready to go. And we're just demoing a few bits now and trying to come up with some ideas. But yeah, really looking forward to getting into the studio and properly. It'll be my first album, actually, funnily enough, because everything I've done before this has been EPs.
Yeah.
So it'll be my first album. So I'm really excited.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, yeah. I know, it'll be nice. Hopefully.
So do you know where you're recording it yet?
Milltown Malby, hopefully.
Okay.
There's a lovely studio down there. So Jono is based down there and we'll probably just head into the studio. It's close to his house. At the moment, we're just kind of, you know, just doing rough demos. So we haven't needed to go in yet, but we will be in the next, hopefully in the next month, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Considering that you took that break and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Even listening to some of the older stuff that you have up on YouTube comparison to the new EP.
Yeah.
Your voice definitely, and your sound is definitely matured.
Probably. I suppose, I think your voice gets a bit deeper as it goes older, does it?
Yeah.
Is that a myth? I don't know.
No, I've lost my top register of my voice the past few years, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe
that's
maybe
from screaming,
that.
Though.
So it could be that, maybe, I don't know. But, yeah.
But even the sound, because, like, I think, what was one of the songs? Nothing Without You.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, that was kind of a song. I don't know how to get that off of YouTube.
You don't have to talk about it if you don't want to.
That song was something I did. I collaborated with somebody and I just, I cringe when I hear it. It's just not me. Like,
yeah, it's very overproduced.
It's totally overproduced and it's not, like, no offence to the person I collaborated with, but it's not me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And
yeah.
But I don't know how to get it off of YouTube and my head is wrecked with it.
Is it is it on someone else's?
I think so. Yeah.
That's always the worst, isn't it?
I know.
It's just the way, like, just the way to contact them.
Who set up this page? Like, I think there's another couple of things up there as well where I was like sending emails to whoever, kind of going, this is not actually my YouTube channel. Can this be taken down? This is a duplicate. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. Because I haven't a clue what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But no word back from them. So I don't know what the crack is with that. But looks like it's going to be there forever to haunt me.
Yeah.
Well, at least there's evidence of, you know, progression and, you know, all that.
But everyone's going to be like, I know, not that anyone gives a shite, sure, Jesus, everyone's so concerned with what's going on with themselves, you know, it's not really something that people are going to be too worried about. Just me, I'll be lying in bed and I'm going, oh.
And then you got a gig with Declan O'Rourke as well.
Yeah, so we're doing that I'm really looking forward to that. Actually, we went to his book launch last week. In Kenny's.
Yeah. So, I wasn't there, but I heard about it.
Yeah, he's great. Jesus, fair play to him. I don't know how. Do you know, just even that kind of chatting and stuff, but he's brilliant. He's such a pro and he's a great writer. And yeah, I think the book is going to do really well for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I know, I see you brought the guitar with you.
I did.
Did you want a chance one or are we putting you on the spot?
Well, I could if you want me to, but like it's totally up to yourselves.
Jeez, that'd be great.
Yeah,
go for it.
You should go for it.
And if you wanted to name the song as well beforehand.
Oh yeah, so this is called Beautiful Man and it's kind of the easiest song I play, which is why I picked it.
Oh great.
I was kind of one of those ones at school that cogged everyone's homework. I'm joking. The 10th day of October, the day I saw you again. Do you know the 10-10 means a new beginning? Thought you looked thinner, knew you'd been working too hard. Wanted to take you home, kiss your face and make you dinner. Beautiful man, beautiful man, come over here, come out of the shadows. Beautiful man, beautiful man, I love you right down to your sorrows. You know I miss you, I miss you like water. I can't wash away the feelings I feel all over. You could read my mind, you'd see the devil inside. Wanna be the only woman to help you to unwind. Beautiful man, come over here, come out of the shadows. Beautiful man, beautiful man, I love you right down to your sorrows. I love you right down to your sorrows. See a spirit of a horse when you bolt. You hide behind an eye that's closed. Well, do I rattle around it? Do I rattle in your bones? You're always with me, even when you're not with me. Come over here, come on, just kiss me. Beautiful man, beautiful man.
Wow, that was phenomenal.
Thank you.
That was gorgeous.
Gorgeous. I wish I had strings on my banjo. I would love to play along with it, you know. I broke them all the other night at the gig. That was fantastic.
Thanks.
That was wonderful.
Thanks, Doug.
Should we better do more of that now, I think.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for coming on, Sabrina.
Thank you guys for having me so much. And sure, if you're down in the village, come down to Shear and see me.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
for a coffee or whatever. Yeah.
If people are looking for your stuff, your Instagram is dining.sabrina.
Yeah, that's it. And then Facebook is Sabrina Dynan Musician. Yeah, so it would be great to get in touch with people through there if they're interested. And hopefully I'll be doing a gig in Canberra very soon.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, Perfect.
Well, thanks, we'll be there, definitely.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so that's us.
Okay.
Check out the Snug podcast, Snug with a H, and all the places and the things.
And and be yourself and do things that you like.
Good luck.
All right, good luck.
Bye.